in January this year, not long after I left Manchester, as Brett informed you or reminded you about, I was saving up money to go to Newbold. Now, I was also looking for a job, so I was in this phase of what we call, you know, in-between jobs. I didn't quite want to say I was unemployed, but everyone knew I wasn't working. Now, I don't like to sit at home and have nothing to do and just to be there sitting around all day in my pajamas, eating all the food in the house. So my mom would argue differently. But at that time, at that moment, early this year, we were having some work done on our house. And my uncle, who's a plumber, he was the one who was helping to fit and just redo our radiators. Now, I must admit, that line of work is far from what I'm used to. I'm used to, you know, laptops, speaking to people, writing and talking. I'm not good at working with my hands. So if there's any plumbing emergency or physical emergency in your house, don't call me because I will mess up the situation. But as I was helping my uncle out, I was trying to work with him to lighten his load. There was a few radiators that we had finished, that I was actually quite proud of my work. You know, I helped cut the copper pipes to the correct proportion, although he set up everything for me, so there wasn't much for me to mess up. But I had done my part, and I was feeling good. You know, I could say, I can change a car tire, I've fitted furniture together, and I can help put a radiator on its right place. But now, as everything looked completed, you know, the skirting boards, they had been sanded off, the brass had been polished, so it was all looking good. It was time for me to turn the water back on. Now, as I turned the valve back, I just heard the shout from my uncle to turn it off quickly because water was just pouring out, just gushing all from the radiator. The issue is, although everything looked fine, everything looked good, it looked perfect, it wasn't fully connected. Because it wasn't fully connected, where it came time for the radiator to be filled, for it to be used for its purpose, it just created a mess everywhere, simply because it wasn't fully connected. If we read John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5 again. John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me." In verse 5, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." You see, Jesus using the illustration of a vine and a branch, I imagine him as he's walking with his disciples on the way to Gethsemane, that maybe they walk through a vineyard or walk through a garden, and he has a message on his heart that he's been willing to share with his disciples. And he sees the vine and the branch as this perfect illustration of the connection that he wants to have, not just with them in that day, but you and I in 2016. That it's not just a superficial connection that Jesus wants with us. It's a deeper connection, a connection that runs right into our innermost being, a connection that is vital for our spiritual survival. You know, I'm learning that there's different levels of communication which we can have. Being in a relationship for these last few years, it's taught me about these different levels of communication. I'm sure that what I'm about to say, that many of the guys here would have experienced a similar thing. See, when I'm busy with, you know, assignments or coursework or just general life, I tend to, you know, like close everything off or shut everything off because I'm focused on the task at hand. You know, I have an assignment due for Monday. I need to do that. Everything else gets put off, or I have some reading to do, so nothing else matters but the task at hand. Now, sometimes that can branch into days, into a whole week. So maybe rather than being on the phone and speaking to my girlfriend, I would, you know, just shoot a few WhatsApp messages, you know, "Hi, how are you? How's your day?" blah, 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 that sort of thing. So in my head, we've spoke, we've been communicating. And now, maybe it's 2-3 days have gone by, and then I'd call her, and then I'd be met with, oh, so you're alive. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've spoke to you this week. Of course I'm alive. I was like, no, we haven't spoke all week. I'm like, no, we spoke. I go through my WhatsApp messages, like, yeah, I've spoke to you each day. She said, no, we haven't spoken all week. It took multiple times for me to get my head around it, that we've spoken. Like, can the guys relate to this? Have you been there? Some of you are sitting next to your wife and your girlfriend, so you're shaking your head saying no. But I know that you've been there. I can see the look in your faces, especially Eddie. Now, as I'm working through this, I'm trying to work out how, in her mind, that we haven't spoken, but yet, you know, I've sent some WhatsApp messages, I've sent some text messages. The issue wasn't whether I said hello or, you know, these things. It's that the conversation which was had, it wasn't as deep or as meaningful as a phone conversation, a conversation we have face to face. See, I may have said, hi, hello, how are you, but I don't know what her day was like at work, or how her boss was, or the things that have affected her, the things that have been on her mind, the highs and lows of her day, they haven't come through in the few text messages, in the few WhatsApp messages. I imagine that Jesus too, he's, as we're speaking to him, we're saying, okay, Lord, I need X, Y, and Z from you. I'm praying to you, I'm doing all these things, but Jesus is like, Troy, we haven't spoken. But like, no, Lord, I've said my grace. I've said grace every day before 8. No, Troy, we haven't spoken. No, but Lord, I invited my friend to church. Troy, we haven't spoken. Okay, but Lord, you say I haven't spoken, but I even gave my neighbor a glow trap. But Troy, we haven't spoken. See, sometimes when we're busy, when we're caught up in our own thing, we may think that, you know, we can shoot a quick prayer to Jesus in the morning and our connection with him is fine, or our connection with him is constant. We may think that doing little things here and there that we're abiding in Christ, but even with this word abide, it gives an air of something that is constant. Not a form of communication or connection that happens just once in a while, like when you need to charge your phone because the battery is about to die. I imagine that some of us who drive here, that we can fall into this trap as well of only putting in petrol into our car just when we need it. You know, we see the dial go down from full to halfway, then the red light starts flashing, and we think, you know what, I know this car. I can get at least 10 more miles out of it. But your car needs something more. It doesn't need to be pushed to the edge to its limits. It would prefer to be full for a bit longer. So Jesus, he desires a deeper connection, something more than just surface level, something more than just superficial, something more than just a one-time event. I think we may have all even experienced this before. Maybe we've been to camp meetings, we've been to GYC, we've been to these great things. We've been convicted by the message, we've gone for the appeal. We say, okay, Lord, change is happening now. And then because the connection was just a one-time thing, maybe we got caught up in that moment, could slip back into the same things which we were doing before that appeal. Because Jesus said that without me, without abiding in me, without staying connected to me, without a meaningful connection, you can do nothing. So in my prioritizing and working out, okay, what things can I do to communicate with my girlfriend better, I learned that, you know, I had to put some things that weren't quite so important to the side. I had to, you know, maybe watch football a bit less, because in all honesty, I said I was busy, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday evenings when Match of the Day were on, Sunday, I'd be watching football all these times. In reality, I would have time for other things, but I just told myself that I was busy. I believe that even when we're busy, we make time for things that are important to us. We may be caught up with paying our mortgages, with our studies, with everything that life is throwing at us, but if we prioritize God, if God is truly important to us, if our living connection with God is of great importance. We will make time where time needs to be made. If we carry on reading, and if we go down to John chapter 15 and verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done to you." Now, all the time, we have different requests from God. There's different things we want God to do for us. There's areas in our life that maybe we're fed up of slipping up. We're fed up of the mistakes of being sometimes Christians. And we're asking God, "Okay, Lord, I need help in these areas of my life. I need to be more dedicated to you. I need to stop eating so much food to the point where my stomach's just bloated, or I need to be more caring, more kind, more loving to people." But the success of these requests is dependent on a living connection with God. It says, "You shall ask what you will, and it will be done to you." But previously, and don't miss this point, but previously, Jesus has said that without me, you can do nothing. But now he's promising that with him, he will do everything. Because whilst we're fighting against ourselves, and while we're seeking to overcome different things, whilst we are looking forward to victory, maybe initially we're trying to do everything by ourselves. Maybe initially we think, okay, if I just read this blog about the 7 ways to have self-control, then, you know, I'll be just fine, I can do this. Or if I just follow these tips or these steps that my friend has given me, then I can have success in these areas. But Jesus is looking on saying, without me, you can't do anything. Without me, you can't do these things. He's calling us, asking us, wanting, longing for this connection so that he can step in and do what we are unable to do for ourselves. You see, it's not that Jesus, when we're connected with him, when we're living for him, that he just takes over every single thing and we sit back and do nothing. But it's in the moments, in the times when our strength is gone, when we've learned that we cannot depend on ourselves, that Jesus will happily step in. You know, I think to the times when I've gone to the gym with, and I'm trying to find Kendra, but he's somewhere on the balcony, I think. When I've gone to the gym with Kendra or for some of my friends, and if you know Kendra, he's a big guy. He's completed the gym. That's what he looks like. There's no other reason for him to go back. He's finished. He's done. They should cancel his membership. But now, so he can lift, he can move more weight than me. So there's times when he may be saying, "Okay, Troy, you need to do exactly what I've just done." And I'm looking at him thinking, how? Like, is this even humanly possible? But then as I'm trying to do my thing, and then maybe I get to, I won't say 1 or 2 repetitions, like, let's say 4 or 5. I get to about 4 or 5 repetitions, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Like, no more. I'll just let the bar just rest on my chest and I'll be fine. I'll leave it here forever. I'll sleep right here in the gym. But what happens when my strength would be gone? He would be able to just lift the bar to do what I cannot do for myself, and so I can keep on going and maybe get out a few more reps than I would have been able to if I didn't have this assistance. So when we're battling, when we're fighting against things in our life or ourselves, whether we're fighting against alcohol or drug addictions or the different kind of addictions that throw up into our lives, maybe we put the bottle down once, or we put it down twice, maybe 3 or 4 times, but that 5th time when we don't have strength to pull it down, Jesus will be there with his strength to give us the assistance to help us overcome in the points where we are weakest. If we look back at John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus is still speaking about himself being the vine. So we're speaking now about the source which we are connected to, not just the connection. He says that, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." See, with Jesus saying that he's the true vine, being the true vine, he's not just speaking about in terms of true or false, right or wrong, correct, incorrect, deal or no deal. He's speaking about true vine in terms of his absolute. He's the one which we need to be connected to. He is the only one with the power to be able to sustain all of us, to be able to charge up this whole church, that Manchester will have a fire lit in it that cannot be put out. But being disconnected from God, we lose access to this power. For not making time for God, for not abiding with him continuously, consistently, we do ourselves, our friends, our loved ones, our churches, a disservice. I often think or dream about what would church be like if we came here on a Sabbath morning and every single one of our members were charged up, were raring to go. We were so burning on fire for Christ that we didn't even want to be in the building because we just want to get out and share God's message with everyone around us. Wouldn't this be a glorious time to be here? For five of you it would be. But hopefully that infectiousness rubs off onto the rest, that one day that God's church will shine as brightly, that will burn as brightly as Jesus, as God, as the angels, as the universe is waiting eagerly to see. We can overcome, we can bear fruit, not of ourselves. Our prayers can be answered. Our challenges can be overcome. Our foes can be defeated. But it all starts with being connected to God. But now, it's all well and good speaking about being connected or eulogizing or just making it seem like it's this a wonderful thing that it's just going to happen for everyone instantly and there will never ever be any hiccups or pitfalls along the way. Because if I am honest, it is not always like that at all, our Christian journey. There's times when we may scatter to the left or to the right, but we can be drawn back. If I'm completely honest, there's been one or two times over the years where I've even thought, you know what? This Christian life's too hard. It's too much. Not that I don't believe in God. Not that I don't know what the Bible teaches. But I thought, it's too much because I'm not seeing any results. I'm not seeing any fruits. What is the point of me being here in church if I'm not seeing anything being done? If I'm not seeing the promises of the Bible in my life? A few times I've been on the edge, at least dancing with the thought of leaving church, just due to these things. But the one thing that has kept me, which I'll go into in a bit, the thing that has kept me is the Word of God. I thought there would be one or two more amens. Maybe you've not felt like this before, but there's been times when I felt like, okay, I'll just cut myself off from the vine and just go do my own thing. But when I've been thinking about this, when I've been in this state of mind, and I've been like, okay, let me just try praying. Kneeling on the floor there being silenced for a while. I'm not sure what to say to God. And then scriptures start coming to mind. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. You know, there is, I'll go back on track in a minute, but there's something about crisis that shows where our affections lie. When David said that he was overwhelmed, the place he wanted to be led to was the rock. When my brothers trust me to look after my nieces on the odd occasion, there's something which I noticed. When we would go to the park, they would be playing around and, you know, jumping on the swings, on the slides, and occasionally my niece would fall and maybe scrape her knee. She would come running straight to me just because she would find comfort being with me. But I noticed that if grandma was there, instead of running to me, it's like I wouldn't exist. She would run straight to my grandma because she found more comfort in her grandma than me. But when mommy and daddy are there, grandma still exists. Uncle Troy doesn't exist one bit. She makes a beeline to mommy and daddy because that is where she finds her most comfort. That is where her affections lie. David, his affections, his main affections, lay with God. when he was overwhelmed, that was his first point of call. When we are overwhelmed with life's problems, life's troubles, life's issues, with our boss at work who we would just love to gently shake, to shake some sense into him. When we are overwhelmed, where do we run to? Do we run to Facebook and Twitter and start tweeting about our problems? Do we run to our best friends? Do we run to everyone but God for our comfort? Or are we being asked to be led to the rock? Are we seeking that connection that can give us strength to overcome? Are we seeking to remain connected to the true vine? It's all well and good speaking about being connected, but I wouldn't want to leave you without speaking about how the connection takes place. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. I'll read from verse 14 to 17 actually. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And here's the key part. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height. I know I said I'll read verse 17, but we'll read verse 19 as well. "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." You see, if you and I are to be connected with God, if you and I are to do whatever it takes to have a living, meaningful, more than skin deep connection with God. In verse 17 it says that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith. First point of call. And the goal of this, or the end goal of this, of Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, is that we may understand, that we may comprehend, that we may experience his love. See, the thing of being connected to the love of Christ, maybe whilst if you're feeling disillusioned with the church, or maybe there's someone there who's grinding you the wrong way, and you just don't know what to do, you think, okay, maybe I'll just hop around to different churches and I'll just be fine there. The thing of being connected to the love of God is that when you're just downtrodden, when you're downcast, when you're just maybe even in a state of spiritual depression, the thing with being connected to the love of Christ is that it's by his love that he calls us. That I think it's in Hosea when it says that he draws us with cords of love. The thing with being connected to the love of Christ, that is the place where we do find our strength. That is the place where we do find our comfort. That is the place where we find our purpose as Christians. It is that same love which caused God to do whatever it takes that we may be connected with him. It is that love which should cause us also to do whatever it takes in order to be connected with him. See, there's a spider that I learned about. I can't remember the name of the spider. But what it would do is that when it hatches its multiple eggs hatches and it has its babies, its children, I don't know if there's a real name for baby spiders, when they're just running around, just going crazy, just doing their thing, crawling through your houses, scaring you who have arachnophobia, that what this spider does is, within its web, it attaches its silk cords to its children. Now, if you've ever messed with a spider's web before, you know that it works by the vibrations that it feels, that the spider then responds to those vibrations. So what would happen is that with these cords that are wrapped around the different spiders, when there's vibrations, when there's danger to the spiders, the children, they just scatter instantly. They just run in every direction, not really knowing where they're going. But then because of these silk cords that the swine has wrapped around its children, it's able to draw them back into him. It is by cords of love that Jesus draws us to him. Whilst we're seeking to be connected to Christ, we cannot understand or comprehend or experience his love as Paul's speaking about in Ephesians if we are not studying God's word. It's a simple equation. But I don't just want to stand here and tell you, you need to study your Bible more, you need to study your Bible more, you need to study your Bible more. But what I find is that sometimes we may not know how to study our Bible, that we have more than a superficial experience with God. Have you ever been in that situation where you've had your devotion and you sit your Bible down and you start thinking, what on earth was that about? Or sometimes if we're really honest, Lord, why was this passage in the Bible? Do we really need all these gaps? Sometimes we can be in these moments where, friend, if we've been told for a while that we do need to study, and yes, it is imperative that we need to study. But like as many of you here, maybe you've been through school, college, university, these things, if you don't know how to approach your subject, then it's just going to be foreign to you. I'm learning Greek right now in Newbold. Believe me, it's foreign to me. But if I didn't know how to approach the subject, it would be so much worse than it already is. I see the faces of one or two of you here who have studied, who are studying Greek at this moment. Unless you've studied it, you don't feel the pain. It's different to different languages. It's a painful experience. But if we weren't taught how to approach the grammar, how to approach the words, how to approach the little things that would help us to understand the subject, it would be hopeless. So at this moment, before I close, because I think attached to this also, there's, I believe, a false notion that young people don't like to study the Bible or they're not interested in Bible study. Is there anyone else who thinks that this is false? Thank you for those who agree with me. For those who aren't, it's okay. But you see, when I look at my friends, my fellow young people, and I see us rally around things, I've seen young people rally around the injustice that's been going on in America in terms of the police brutality. I see them marching passionately. No one's prompting them, dragging there, but passionately showing interest in these things. I see my friends passionately showing interest in music, in all these different subjects, but yet for some reason we think they can't be passionate about the Bible. But I believe that if there is interest, if our young people see value in the Word, and when I say value, I mean that the promises we see in the Bible, the power, the change, the transformative power we see in the Bible. If our young people see this surging through our churches, believe me, they will be there for the Bible study. They will be not even there for the Bible study, but I believe leading the Bible studies. They want to be connected to God. We all want to be connected to God. We read and see and hear about the great people in the Bible who have this connection with God. We can be those great people in 2016, walking with God day by day. Walking with God just as Enoch walked with God. But it depends on our connection to that vine. Because with that connection with God, through him, we're able to do all things. So at this time, as I'm closing, and I'm just going to make a very quick, short appeal. No gimmicks. That this is mainly for those in leadership positions in any church, that if you want to make the commitment to helping our young people understand the Bible, so not just telling them to study more, making sure them how to study, to make the Bible interesting, to make it real to them, not as an abstract thing or something that's far removed for them. If it's your desire, if God's placing this desire on your heart to do this, I just want you to stand. And you're not just standing for no reason. There's going to be this wasn't planned, but the elders of the church, the the people who are leading, take their names, speak to them, implement something that can start as soon as possible. Because the connection for our young people to God is not something we can joke around with. It's not something we can play around with. So if you want to be on hand for the young people, to educate them into understanding the Bible, let's ask you to stand. And second appeal, simple second appeal. Again, no gimmicks, no stories, no frills. If you see that maybe your connection with God over the days, weeks, months, years is faded, maybe even non-existent, but you sincerely want that connection back. First of all, you see those who are standing, they're your support. I just ask that you stand, that we may pray together, that we can truly implement something where our young people, our older people, all people here can be connected to God. So just invite you to stand as we pray to close. Lord, thank you for our time here throughout this day. Right from Sabbath school up until this moment, and for the other things that you have planned for us through your Sabbath day. Lord, thank you for the commitment of those who have stood to be on hand for, well, not just the young people in the church, but all people in the church, that we may be able to understand, that we may be able to be educated to understand your words correctly, that we may comprehend your love, that our faith may be strengthened so that we can be truly connected to you, Lord. You've done whatever it takes already. Your Son has done whatever it takes. Your Holy Spirit is doing whatever it takes for us to be connected. It's just that your people, me, all of us standing here, that just like you, Lord, we also do whatever it takes for us to be connected with you. Also pray for those people who have stood because they're sensing that their relationship with you that is waned, that is drawn thin over whatever period of time. I'm asking that because you are the author of time, Lord, that we can reclaim those lost days, weeks, months, and years. That those who are in need of you the most now, who have stood, who have made the decision in their hearts, that today, the reparation of their relationship with you, that it starts today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio, and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.